We're in the middle of discussing tznius, what exactly it is, we spoke pretty much about the idea that covering parts of the body that the Torah or the Rabbonim felt were attracting, not attractive, but attracting in a negative, sensual way, and therefore attracts attention to the chitzonius of the person and makes you lose sight of the kedusha and the pnimius of the person. So therefore we cover the externals to make the statement there's more here than meets the eye. That's why when it comes to animals there's no inyan of tznius, because what you see is what you get. There is no internal, so therefore it's only external. The external is nothing wrong with the external. The Rabbanim Shlomo made it. It's only by human beings where there is a neshama, a kedusha inside, even by a regular human being, the gagoi, he also has a neshama, he's more than an animal, and therefore there's an idea of tznius. However, the ideal tznius is not covering up the body in such a way that you don't know you have a body. Okay. Until recently, it was not the custom amongst most Jews to what's it called walk around like Arabs in robes that totally cover the fact that you have a body, where you can't see arms, legs, face, eye, or anything. Okay, lechora, that should be the ultimate tznius. Right, and some people say that it is, and this is the way our mothers, not my mother, but so this is the way, what's it called, our mothers walked around, right? I think they mean Sari Imenu. I really doubt very much that Sari Imenu walked around like that. One of my proofs is that it says that Avraham, by accident, got a look at her on the way down to Mitzrayim. If that's the way she was dressed, there would have been absolutely no problem to, what's it called, he could still couldn't have seen her if he looked at her. So mashma that he saw something, that there was something there to see in any case. But it seems like that should be the ultimate. We should all walk around in tents with our heads sticking out of the tent, and this big tent around, and you don't even know you have a body. All you have is a head, and the head we cover and just leave out two little slits for eyes, like in one of these iron masks. And that would be the ultimate tznius, right? Not only are you covering your body, you are making sure that nobody even knows you have a body. It's not the ultimate tznius. There is an idea of clothing also, that it should be tasteful and reflect the inner kedusha of the body. Beauty, external beauty, is not something that has to be totally obliterated, not by men and not by women. There is something the Rabbanu Shlomo made people attractive, beautiful, for a reason. Okay, and everybody, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, and therefore everybody has some kind of beauty. That's why you can say by every kala, kala noa v'chasuda. It's a charming and beautiful kala, even if, as Beis Shammai says, she's an ugly witch, right, who has no character, but to somebody she's charming and beautiful, obviously the guy who's marrying her. But there is something to that. How do I know? Because the Torah makes a point of mentioning, both by men and women. It tells us that Yosef was Yafei Toar. He was handsome. Who cares? He was Yosef. Makes a difference if he was handsome or he was ugly. Sari Imenu, right? Bas Meyak, Bas Esrim Lechet, and Bas Esrim Kabas Sheva Liofi, according to one version of that Rashi. She was as beautiful at 20 as she was at 7. Who cares? Who cares if Sari Imenu was beautiful or she was an ugly hag? She was Sari Imenu. Makes a difference what she looked like. Yeah, obviously, yes. The Torah went out of its way to tell us. The Vilna Gaon explains the pasuk: Sheker Hachein, the Hevel Hayofi, Isha Yiras Hashem Itisalo. That when is external charm and beauty vain and false? When there's nothing more. But in Isha Yiras Hashem, in a woman who has Yiras Shamayim, she has that inner Kedusha, he tisalol, you should praise her for her beauty and her charm. Then there's an inyan of the beauty and the charm also. Not only by what's it called, not only is she praised for her Yirah Shamayim, but also for her beauty and her charm. What does that mean? Right. The she has to understand what kind of beauty we're talking about. Okay. And secondly, it says that Sarah was as beautiful at 20 as she was at 7. L'cha'ora, a 20-year-old girl is prettier than a 7-year-old girl. So what does that mean? Thirdly, beauty is a very subjective thing, right? Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Everybody thinks that something else is pretty. V'haraya, just forget about people, right? What's handsome or what's pretty, just what people like in their houses. So if you walk into somebody's house and you see the kind of furniture they have or the kind of pictures they have on the wall or whatever the decor, right? It looks like, you know, a horror house in the carnival, right? To some people. And to them, this looks, you know, this is really nice. And other people have a different kind of decor, and the first people wouldn't think of living in a house like that. It, who knows, it looks like a cemetery or whatever. So everybody has their subjective idea of what is attractive. It is very subjective. I always like to give the example of the following. It says that Esther Hamalka was Motzei Shein be'enei kol ro'eha. Everybody found her to be charming. Everybody was found to be charming. So first of all, Chazal say Yirak Rekes Haisa. In essence, she was green. Okay, she had a green complexion. So, and still everybody found her to be attractive, charming, okay? And how could that be? Because again, beauty is a very subjective thing, and it's culturally. One culture, this is what's beautiful, right? In one culture, the heavier the woman is, the more sought after and the more she'll get money. She'll get 10 camels for her dowry, you know, if she tips the scales at 250 pounds or whatever, right? Anything less than that, you only get 9 camels or whatever. So, what's it called? That's in certain societies, okay? Instead of dieting, it maybe you can diet to move to those societies, if you will. In any case, in other societies, right, if women cast a shadow, right, then they're too fat. So they have to look like they're emaciated, something out of a concentration camp to be pretty. There's everything in between that too. So how could Esther have been charming to everybody? Everybody has a different idea of what beauty is. The example I'd like to give is the following. Many of you have heard it more than once, and like I always say, you didn't hear it more times from me than I did. So in Africa, right, there is the Ubangi, thank you. Who said that? Annette?
No.
Ubangi, number 332. The Ubangis. It's interesting that the women of the Ubangis are called saris. I don't know if they have anything to do with sari menu, but in any case, so the Ubangis have a quaint custom. Their daughters, when they're little, they put a half saucer in their mouth between their lip and their upper gum and stretch their lip. And as it stretches, they put a bigger half saucer and a bigger one. So by the time they are ready to get married, which is they're right about 13, 14 by the Ubangis, they have an upper lip that sticks out about a foot. Okay? Can you imagine what they look like? They look like something of an orthodontist, you know, dream. And that is considered beautiful. If you don't have a daughter that has an upper lip that sticks out at least a foot, forget it, you'll never find the shidduch by the Ubangis. Okay? Now, in the culture we come from, okay, if you have a daughter who, because she sucked her thumb, her teeth stick out a little bit, you take her to the orthodontist, spend thousands of shekel to correct that, because otherwise she's not going to find the shidduch. Okay. So I always say that I had one of my daughters had need for orthodontia work. I was thinking of sending her to the Ubangis, where she would have been a beauty, and it would have been free. Except the shidduchim over there were a little too black for me. In any case, so which is it? So Esther Amalka, she had an upper lip that stuck out on foot, then she was beautiful to the Ubangis. But the Americans and Israelis looked at her like Nebuch. And if she didn't have an upper lip that stuck out of foot, then the Ubangis thought she was a Nebuch, and the Americans and Israelis thought she was beautiful. So how could she be beautiful to everybody? Right? Now the answer is that there is a certain beauty that is universal, that's not dependent on culture. It's the beauty of the innocence of youth. A 7-year-old girl is pretty, not in the same kind of attractiveness of a 20-year-old, but it's the innocence of youth. It's a little girl, it has a certain, or a little boy, the same thing. It's a cute little boy, cute little girl, and it really represents the innocence of youth being projected to the outside. That was Sarimene. At 20, she had the same innocent beauty as a 7-year-old. That was the beauty we're talking about. We're not talking about the external attractiveness that is culturally subjective. We're talking about a beauty that is universal, that is basically the inner beauty of the person that is projected outside. And when you look at that person, you see the refinement, you see the innocence, you see the kedusha externally. That's the beauty, that is the external beauty. And that is a positive thing. A person does not have to dress in a way that they are ugly or totally oblivious of their physical body. They have to dress in a way that their dress projects externally what is special about them internally. It's like a uniform. The dress doesn't make you what's it called? What you are, right? The Chofetz Chaim gives a marshal. He gives it for a different purpose, but it fits this perfectly. I think the last time I said it was on Tisha B'Av. That dress is important, but it's not intrinsically important. It's a means. It's not an end in itself. Where do you see that? Chofetz Chaim says, a marshal. He says there was once a guy who was traveling in a snowstorm in a wagon, and he just couldn't go on anymore. He was falling asleep in the snow, was freezing. So he passed an inn, and he went into this hotel, and he tells the hotel owner, "I want a room just for 2 hours so I can close my eyes. I'll pay you for the whole day, night. Just give me 2 hours, bed to sleep in." "Guys, I'm sorry, but we're full." He says, "There must be an empty bed somewhere in this inn that I can sleep in for 2 hours. He said, "There is one empty bed. I rented a room to a general, and he asked that he be alone in the room, and I didn't rent the other bed to anybody. So he's sleeping in a room with two beds, and there's one empty bed. But I promised him that I wouldn't put anybody in that room, so you can't go there." He said, "Look, I'll pay you for a week. Just let me sleep 2 hours in that bed. I will go in. This general's asleep. It's 2 o'clock in the morning, right? I'll tiptoe in, get to bed quietly. The general never knows I was there. I'll get up early in the morning in 2 hours and leave before the general gets up at 9 o'clock. I'm leaving at 5 o'clock. I'll leave quietly. He'll never know I was there. You'll have made a week's rent on this room, and I'll have my 2 hours sleep." I says, "Okay. But you've got to promise me that you've got to leave here quietly and in 2 hours. There's no chance that you're going to be around when that general gets up. Otherwise, I'd have it." "So I promise you," he said, "just do me a favor. Come and wake me up so I don't oversleep." Okay. So at 5 o'clock, the innkeeper comes, wakes the guy up, and gets up, gets dressed really fast, runs out of the room quietly. And as he goes out of the room in the hall, there's a mirror, passes the mirror. And he sees that he's wearing the general's clothing. In his rush, he put on the general's clothing instead of his. So he says to himself, "That idiot innkeeper, he woke up the general and forgot to wake me up." Says the Chafetz Chaim, just because you are wearing the general's clothing does not mean you are the general. Right? There's a difference between wearing the general's clothing and being the general. So, for our purposes, the same thing. Clothing does not make you what you are. If you dress up as a policeman, you are not a policeman. Okay? But, if you are a policeman, it's a good idea to wear a police uniform. Because people then know who you are and they treat you differently. Remember in Miami, we used to have a lot of doctors in my kahila. Young, beginning doctors in their practice in their late 20s, early 30s or whatever. And Miami is Miami. So some of the doctors did rounds in the hospital in their, you know, white coat and a decent, you know, suit pants and a white shirt. And they look like doctors. Okay. Some of them, you know, came right off the golf course or the tennis match in their Hawaiian shirts and Bermuda shorts, and that's how they went to the hospital to make rounds. And you tell me, if the doctor comes to your bedside, lo aleinu, that you need a doctor, and he has his nice white coat with his stethoscope around his neck, right? You feel very, very fine that you're in the hands of a competent doctor. Even he may not be competent, but he looks like a doctor. And if you have a guy come to your bedside in a Hawaiian shirt and Bermuda pants, even though he has a stethoscope around his neck, you feel that, what in the world, you know, this is a doctor? So there's a very big difference of how people present themselves externally too. Clothing is not the ikker, but it is something. How you project yourself externally is also important. And therefore, a person has to dress in a way that reflects that inner kedusha. So it's not enough, tznius-wise, to cover the parts of your body. You can cover every part of your body properly and cover it in a way that the message that you give is either that you're a clown or that it is provocative. You can cover every part of your body properly and still not be tzanua. You can't not cover parts of your body and still be tzanua. But you can cover the part and still not be tzanua. There's more to tznius than just covering your body. It's how it's covered, the taste, the refinement, or whatever. That doesn't mean you have to walk around in a gown or in a three-piece suit, you know, refined. That's, refinement means you dress for the occasion. You don't overdress. I once saw a woman in Borough Park. I should have said that. Somewhere in the world, doing her shopping, 10 o'clock in the morning on a Wednesday, in a gown that she could have been the mother of the bride. Okay, she also happened to have a little one of these really expensive dogs. I mean, it looked like a real, you know, one of these miniature. Pedicured, manicured dogs, who was also dressed up the same way. So her dog was also dressed, and she looked like she just came 10 o'clock in the morning from, she's the mother of the kala at a chasana. Right? That was inappropriate to go shopping in a grocery store like that. So you can overdress and you can underdress too, not that you don't cover all the parts of your body, but you look like a schlump. Right, you look like somebody who's a hobo who just got off a freight train also. That's also not proper necessarily for a man or for a woman. So tznius is being able to project externally the inner refinement and kedusha that the neshama represents. And that's not an easy thing to do. And it's not necessarily the same for everybody. Everybody has a different way of accenting their body, their face, right, women and men, that is appropriate to them. Therefore, to say that this kind of clothing is appropriate for no one, this kind of shekel, this kind of hairstyle is appropriate for no one, that's ridiculous. Some people, that is appropriate for their form, their face, whatever. And if they would wear a different kind of thing, it would be comical. They would look like they were clowns. Right? So sometimes it's overdone on somebody's face and nice for somebody else. So there can't be, you know, generic kinds of shekels that are always no good or always yes good. It's what's the message you see when you see the person wearing that? Do you see somebody refined, kodesh, or do you see the opposite? Right? And there, I admit that there have to be general rules because people are not smart enough to know that there can be exceptions. But the truth is that a person has to know for themselves that sometimes are the exceptions. This thing is what looks good on them, and something else doesn't look good on them. They look ridiculous. So it's a very, a very subtle balance between covering the external so it's not attracting and distracting and provocative, and making it show externally what is attractive and refined, and makes an impression on people. So the Torah considers external looks important, but they're external looks that reflect the internal. But you don't have to cover up the external completely. That's not what tznius is. That's more or less the idea. Unfortunately, we live in a world, and I'm going to use you as my sounding board, so I won't have to write this letter that I want to write, and not have to show my face anywhere anymore. Unfortunately, we live in a world where everything is black and white, and we are intimidated by people who sound frum, and if you argue with them or say that what they're doing is not frum but atrocious and probably usher, then you look not frum, and nobody wants to look not frum. There's this yidion that they give out for free, you know. So most of it is just advertisements. But they ruin it by putting in divrei Torah that are not divrei Torah, and exhortations to the area over here. Okay, there was one thing this week. Right, I'm telling you, I'm just getting things out of my system because I'm tempted to write a letter. I know if I write this letter, I'm going to regret it, but I regret not writing it. It says over there the following. There were these bleeding heart women who wrote to the letters to the editor of this Yedion in last edition that there are people going around, probably in Kiryat Sefer, because that's where it's from, insulting, embarrassing, spitting at, I guess, I don't know, it didn't say that, but that's part of the women who are not dressed properly. Okay, embarrassing them publicly, insulting them publicly, or whatever. And this is not the Derech HaTorah, and people shouldn't do this, and they should, you know, what's it called, understand that this is not the Derech, whatever. So whoever it was, and of course, it was not signed. Nobody was brave enough to sign this, what they wrote. Okay, but at least it shows they have a little bit of a busha, right? But so it wasn't signed by anybody. It wasn't even signed by Vad L'Inyon Etznius or something like that, right? It was not even signed at all. Big, full-page thing. What did it say? It said, anybody who thinks anything against what the Torah says is an apikoris and a min. So these women who wrote these letters and said it's a shame of people going and embarrassing and insulting these women who don't dress properly are apikursim and minim. Why? Because the Rambam says clearly that if a person does something wrong, you're supposed to give them tochacha between you and them, privately, not insult them, not embarrass them. When is that, says the Rambam, in averas between man and man? But in averas between man and God, right? And you gave the person tochacha and they didn't accept it, then there's a mitzvah to insult them and embarrass them publicly until they stop doing what they're doing. Therefore, anybody who says that somebody who goes around embarrassing, insulting, spitting at these women who are not dressed properly, right, is going against Das HaTorah, against the Rambam, is an apikoris and a min. So then we can go spit and serve that at them also. So it's a double assault. In any case, that was the thing. He just forgot to say that there's a Chazon Ish and a Maram Lublin that say that's true. But there's one stipulation, that you gave those persons tochacha first, and they didn't accept it. And the Chazon Ish, based on a Maram Lublin, says, today, we don't know who has the power to really give tochacha. Meaning, I can tell you, you know, I think you dress atrociously, it's against halacha, change your ways or else. Okay? Or as I saw in this Yedion a few weeks ago, and this I did call somebody, I called the Rav who's in charge of the Yedion. I said, did you see what it says over there? You let that go in? It said over there that Benos Yisrael, some woman, some idiot, pouring out her heart to Jewish girls who don't dress properly or whatever. What she was describing, not dressing properly, was beyond belief, what she considered not dressing properly. But in any case, crying her heart out, and she's saying, and don't you know that you can keep mitzvahs and do chesed or whatever, but if you don't dress properly, all your mitzvahs go to the garbage and are worth nothing. I said to this Rav, I said, that sounds interesting, but I have a Gemara that says that Aveira doesn't extinguish a mitzvah. Just because you do one Aveira doesn't mean that all your mitzvahs go into the garbage. That's what you tell somebody? So you know what the girls will say? Okay, I can't dress properly, so forget about doing mitzvahs. If all my mitzvahs are in the garbage, I'll feed Mechal Shabbos too, and I'll eat treif too. Because anyway, it goes in the garbage. I said, to me, from what I understand, that's not Hashkafas HaTorah. He said, yeah. He said, you know, I can't read everything that, you know, goes into the thing over here, but it's wrong. And after that, I saw they took out that line. So not everything's in the garbage. So they now put some more garbage in there, what's it called? So they had this thing. But the truth is that it's true. But the truth is that you have to first give a person tochacha. And the Chazon Ish says, Bizman Hazeh, you can't be sure that you gave the person tochacha. Just yelling at somebody or telling them something doesn't mean that you gave them tochacha. Tochacha means you proved to them. And you didn't do the right way. It's your fault. So they're before tochacha. Before tochacha, you can't insult them, you can't embarrass them, whatever. That's the halacha. So here's somebody writing that anybody who disagrees with me is an apikoros, because it goes against the Rambam, but the person himself doesn't know that there's a qualification in that Rambam. Not everybody else like that. I mean, maybe the Chazon Ish was nobody to think about. You know, okay, he's not, you know, not this guy, whoever, and Mr. Anonymous is, must sound bigger than the Chazon Ish. That's why he didn't put his name down. The Chazon Ish at least signed his work, right? So this guy must sound bigger than the Chazon Ish, right? So he doesn't care what the Chazon Ish said. But Lamaisa, there is a Chazon Ish, so if somebody is Choshish for the Chazon Ish, maybe he's not an Apikoros or a Min. It's absurd, and people read these things, and they take it at face value, and they think that it's okay. And then they go spitting at women or whatever, and insulting and embarrassing publicly, and everybody else. And the women who wrote the letters, too, because they're Apikorsim and Minim, so everybody's insulting, embarrassing everybody else. But mitzvah, l'shem shamayim. It is totally absurd. And nobody says a word, because everybody's afraid that, what's it called, if I write this letter, I would sign it. Not only that, I put my address on it to exactly where I live, right? And so what's going to happen? They say, well, Rabbi Matityo, what's it called? Oisvar. Right. We can go spit on him, and what's it called? Because he's an Apikoros. Look, he doesn't agree with the Rambam, right? So that's what will happen, right? I tell you the truth, I don't really care. It says, Lo Soguru Mipnei Ish. Shouldn't be afraid of people. And if somebody can put that in, and it's public, and nobody says a word, then this is what promotes these kinds of things. People think it's okay. That's what in the Yedion. What could be wrong? It's right next to, you know, how much RC is in Yesh. What could be more, you know, what could be more authoritative? So, and maybe I'm going to write that letter. If I can do it without my wife knowing. I once said to the gifter. Yeah, my son, whatever I had. I don't know. Rav Gifter, I once asked him, he told me after he moved back there to Chutz Lars, he wasn't well, he told me he could never move back here again. He says that he couldn't keep his mouth shut of the things that he sees that goes on here. He would say things, and he would have his name put up on the wall in Geula or whatever, and these big posters. And he says, I'm too old for that. I said, but Rebbe, it says, Lo Sagurum Mipnei Ish. You shouldn't be afraid of people. Right? So what are you afraid of? He said, you're right. It says, Lo Sagurum Mipnei Ish, but these people are behemoths. And behemoths, you're allowed to be afraid of. So that's the truth. That's what we're dealing with. But it's okay. I got it out of my system. Maybe. Okay. Adkan. Okay.